Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
In the early summer of 1776 in Philadelphia, where our founders were waxing eloquently about their newly declared independence from Great Britain, modern-day tea partiers would have felt at home. There was a lot of talk there about freedom, small and limited government, low taxes, and individual freedoms. The Tea Party would have cheered our founders' resolve to toss off the large, greedy, and oppressive government rule of the British, and their insistence that it not be replaced with an American version of the same thing. The modern Tea Partiers would not have worried that these patriots could not agree on how their new government should work, what it should do, or how it would secure the resources necessary to protect this newly declared independence. Even as 427 British ships were bringing 1,200 cannon, 32,000 soldiers, and 10,000 sailors to conquer New York City, the Continental Congress just assumed General George Washington, with his raw troops, could defeat the much superior and better led forces of the British. They gave cheers to Washington, but little else, and the Tea Partiers would understand, and they would say, make do with what you have, maybe with a little less. Just how Washington's army and the dysfunctional new American government survived that summer of 1776 and got itself in a position to win the War of Independence, all this is the subject of Joseph Ellis's short new book, Revolutionary Summer, The Birth of American Independence. At the beginning of 1776, Ellis explains, the aims of the American military and political sides were not aligned. They were, in effect, two embodiments of American resistance to British imperialism. Continental Army, under Washington's command, regarded American independence as a foregone conclusion. Indeed, the only justification for the Army's existence. But the Continental Congress regarded American independence only as a last resort. So what brought the Congress to support independence? Well, it was the decision of the British government to impose its will by overwhelming military force. Still, confident that the British would never subdue them, the signers of the Declaration of Independence looked to George Washington's Continental Army to turn back that British advance on New York City. And Washington's determination to defend the city in the face of overwhelming British strength could have led to disaster. But the British inexplicably delayed their assault, and Washington took the second chance and retreated from the city and saved his army. But Washington was by temperament an aggressive commander. In New York, he learned that retreat and defensive operations would be his best strategy to preserve the army and wear down the British forces. Meanwhile, in Philadelphia, the political leaders could not reach agreement on how the new states would organize and govern. Questions about slavery, proportional representation, taxing power, standing national army, and what other powers, if any, the national government should have, only brought about temporary compromises. But somehow, having survived that summer of 1776, the Continental Army and the new government developed a growing resolve that made the ultimate victory possible. Something, thankfully, we can celebrate on July 4th every year. This is D.G. Martin.